This evening, and amen, Brother Bryce, good job, and I'm sure that was a blessing to everyone else who heard it as well as it was to me. And I will echo what Pastor said. We listened to the interns preach, and so last year, you know, it was kind of rough when they first started, and Brother Bryce, you know, there's always a starting place, and Brother Bryce started pretty good, actually, very surprisingly, but we are excited and encouraged to see the progression that's already taking place. He's already adapting, and he's taking what we're saying, and he's growing, and so it's very encouraging. And so thank you, Brother Bryce, for that, and Pastor as well, for the opportunity to preach. And also, church, thank you to you for those who contributed to the yard sale, just everything you guys brought, and those proceeds went to the teens, and they might not come up to you and shake your hand and say thank you, but on behalf of myself and them, thank you for your proceeds and what you all brought. It'll just contribute to them and to their life and their ministry and whatever God has for them in store. It's investment for the future for them. And so we're thankful for that. Well, if you have your Bibles, please take them and go to 1 Samuel chapter number 23 is where we'll be. 1 Samuel in chapter number 23. Before we get into the passage, I just want to say this. I'm thankful for great leaders, aren't you? I'm thankful for men who lead and who lead with passion and who can lead people, lead a group. And I'm thankful for leaders who lead from both the front but are willing to lead from behind as servants. That's a good leader. Someone who can do both parts well. And there are men who are great servants and great leaders. And I'm thankful for those who are in leadership who will make the hard decisions, but the needful ones that will benefit more than just themselves. It benefits others. Here recently, we went to the graduation preaching conference, and I'm sure Pastor may have mentioned it as well. We heard a sermon by Brother Sam Davison, and many here know who Brother Sam is and have heard him preach maybe either online or he's come here and preached. And Brother Sam preached at the conference, and during his sermon, he spoke of when he started the college in Oklahoma, or when he was going to start the college. And during that time, there were men who maybe didn't see the vision. They would walk out onto the area where the campus would be, and Brother Sam would say, "This is where a Bible college would be." And not probably every man was on board. They probably looked around and said, "Really? Here?" But as Brother Sam went on in his message, He told about how he led them through. And he led these men. He had strong leadership. And I'm thankful for men like Brother Sam who built a Bible college and then he stood for what was right. Obviously, there was BBC and there was Pacific Coast back in California and BBC, which was in Missouri. And those schools have gone off course. But I'm thankful for Brother Sam and his leadership and just leading us and staying true to God's word and staying true to the truth, if I could say it that way. I'm thankful for a man who saw the need to equip young men and young women for ministry. I'm thankful for Brother Sam. I'm thankful for Pastor Foster. A man who has been a true leader. A man who saw the need as well to train young men for ministry. And ever since he started the Timothy Project, ever since that day, not only has he become a leader to many, but he's become a mentor. That's a great leader. I'm thankful for Pastor Foster's leadership, being willing to lead and take a stand. In the day and age we live, it takes a certain type of man to lead. It takes a certain type of person to lead, doesn't it? But every great leader, especially a godly leader, has someone they're following after as well. For Brother Sam and for Pastor Foster, these two men didn't just lead the way they wanted to, maybe from times that they may have wanted to, but I believe they led the way the Lord wanted them to lead. They followed after the Lord. But for them to be able to lead the way they had to have a proper walk with the Lord. They had to be seeking out the Lord themselves. I'm sure they faced adversity, difficulty. Pastor, would that be a true statement? I'm sure. Yet despite the challenges, They found where their source of strength would come from and their reliance. And tonight we'll look at a young man who faced adversity and challenges and difficulty, but he found his source of strength as well. So as we look to 1 Samuel chapter number 23, we'll start in verse number 1, and it says this. 1 Samuel chapter number 23, verse number 1, it says this. Then told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abithar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abithar the priest, Bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, He will come down. Then said David, Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, They will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness and strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. We'll pray, and then we'll get into it this evening. Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you and I thank for this day and just for this opportunity to open your word. And Father, would you just bless this time, Lord, help to be a blessing to those that hear it this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to give us a little bit of context to where we're at in the passage and what's going on in David's life. Currently, David is on the run from Saul, and he's been fleeing from Saul, and Saul's been hot on his heels. It seems that everywhere that David goes, he can't catch a break. And back in chapter number 22 of 1 Samuel, we see that David ends up going and he meets with a priest by the name of Ahimelech. And he goes to Ahimelech and he asks Ahimelech if he has any food. And the only food that was available was something called the showbread. Now, the showbread is not just bread that you can give out to the common folk. It's bread that is given for the Lord. And once it's been given to the Lord, it's taken aside and becomes hollow bread. And that bread is given for the priest. And so that priest Ahimelech would give David that bread, and he would help David along the way. But further, as you continue to read through chapter number 22 of 1 Samuel, David leaves Ahimelech, but Saul finds out that Ahimelech has helped out David. And so Saul takes Ahimelech, and he accuses him, and he says, I know what you've done. And Ahimelech tries to divert Saul and say, no, this is not what happened. And the story goes in 1 Samuel chapter number 22 that Saul says this to Ahimelech, that your life is at stake in all your household. And Ahimelech, he asks Saul not to impute anything to his servants. But Saul wipes out the household of Ahimelech except for one, and that's Abithar, the son of Ahimelech. And at the end of chapter number 22, Abithar would make his way to David, and David would assure him this, you'll be safe with me. And our story picks up with David and where he's at currently. He's in the forest of Herith, which is in Judah. And I just want to say this, that he's just abiding there, he's hiding there. And our story picks up where David is still on the run and he's still hiding. And he gets word that the Philistines, that group of people he's faced once a dozen times, they're back. But this time, they're not after David. They've come and they've wiped out a group of people in Keilah. Now, Keilah was a town that was close to where the Philistines were. So obviously, the Philistines were close enough they could take him out. And the Bible says that they robbed something called the threshing floors. Now, when I read this, I had no idea what a threshing floor was. So I did some research, and in my research, I found out this. The threshing floor was a smooth surface. I said, that can't be it. So I went on to YouTube. I am very learned at this now. So I looked up what is a threshing floor, and they actually had what I hoped or I assumed was proper to what a threshing floor was. So a threshing floor was where they would take the wheat and they would divide it, the grain from the chaff. And so what they would do is they would have this smooth surface, and they would lay out the wheat, and then they would have like a bundle of hay in the middle, and you'd have an animal walking around. The YouTube video had this too, and the animal had a board behind it. And what it was doing was it was breaking apart the grain and the chaff, and what it was doing was separating them. And then there was something called a winnowing fork that a man would take, and he would take it and he would throw the wheat up in the air. The grain would fall and the chaff would blow away. Now, there's symbolism in the chaff, and the Bible talks about it, but for this purpose, that is just to show you this, that was their food source. That was Keilah's food source that the Philistines had robbed, they had taken away. They couldn't just go to Kroger and get some more groceries. They were out of food. That was a problem. And David gets word of this, that the Philistines have come and they've robbed the threshing floor. And so David, he does what he can and he inquires of the Lord for direction. David goes to the Lord and the Lord tells him, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And I just want to say there's going to be situations in our own lives that'll come up that will require us to inquire of the Lord as well. There's going to be financial difficulties that'll come up in our lives. There might be a family difficulty that'll come up in your life. Or maybe a marital issue or difficulty. Or maybe a difficulty in the church. They'll all come up. And no matter the difficulty, the best thing to do, the best thing that I've been taught to do, is before you take a step forward, it's good to take a knee. Amen. Yeah. Before you step forward, kneel downward and inquire of the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. That's the best counsel I ever received from pastor, my home pastor in Colorado, and my mother, because I had a bad tendency to jump the gun. But with wisdom, they told me, before you step forward, you should kneel downward and consider the Lord. Consider what he has to say. Don't move until God says it's time to move. Psalms 27:14 would say this, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And when we wait on the Lord, in his time, he'll move us. And like he did David, he moved David forward. And we see what happened. And I just want to say this, that it can be hard to wait sometimes, can it? You see what's going on around you. You see what's going on maybe in your personal life or the life of somebody else. And maybe you just really want to do something to help out. But maybe it's not the right time. It's time to wait. Wait on the Lord. Don't move until he leads. David's faced the Philistines a few times before. He's been victorious over them. David probably could have thought, well, I can take them out. This is no big deal. But if David never considered the Lord, maybe God would have never given him the victory. It's an interesting thought. But David, before he went forward, he went downward. And he inquired of the Lord for direction. And And the Lord told him, David, you're going to go. And the Bible continues on in verse number 3, and it says this, and David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? David inquired of the Lord for direction. Lord, what do I do with this situation with the Philistines? The Lord says, go. And as David's probably armoring up, getting ready, his men come to him and say, David, we're not sure about this whole thing. And David, hearing the concern of his men, inquired of the Lord for protection. This was a huge risk they were taking. I mean, where they're at, they're trying to hide, stay hidden from Saul. And for them to leave their hiding place to go out, it's risky. I mean, if you saw 600 men just walking down the street, that draws an eye. And if the people back then saw 600 men heading towards Keilah, towards the Philistines, that would draw an eye to many. This was a huge risk they were taking. And so David, he went to the Lord for inquiring for not just for himself, but for the men around him to make sure they would be safe. And the Lord assured David that he would deliver him. And David would go on and he would fight the Philistines and he would be victorious and he would bring away the cattle and smote the Philistines with a great slaughter. He brought home the fatted calf. Amen. He was victorious. And I just want to note or to ping that this was truly a selfless act from a selfless leader. The concern that David's men had, David listened to and he considered. David went to the Lord about the issue. Because of the choice that David made, it wouldn't just affect himself, but it would affect others around him. And for those that are in leadership, or just husbands, wives, parents, there's choices you make that are going to affect more than just you. Maybe you get a new job. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. But that's going to affect some people around you. Or maybe you get a new position in the job. And what a blessing that is, but that affects some people around you. A new place of living affects many around you. A decision within a family affects many. Financial decisions affect many. A sinful decision can affect many. It can hurt many. The decisions and the choices we make affect others around us more than we know sometimes. We must walk with wisdom. We must consider some things. We must inquire of the Lord for protection, for not just ourselves, but for others. And when the men brought their concerns to David, he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord not only gave David direction, but he gave him assurance that everything would be all right. David, you'll make it. You'll be victorious. And with that assurance, not only in David's mind, but in the men's mind, they could move forward having confidence that God would give them the victory. And the Bible goes on to speak about how they're victorious. And afterwards, Abiathar, who is the son of Ahimelech, comes to David. And he brings with him an ephod. And while this is going on, Saul gets word that David's in Keilah. And Saul says this, God hath delivered him into mine hand. That's not whatever happened. Saul hasn't been following the Lord for a few chapters. He's been disobedient to the Lord. And it's a lie. Saul saying, God's done this for me. Look how great God is. David knew that Saul was secretly practicing mischief. He was deceiving those around him. And David gets word that Saul is going to come this way, and so he asked Abiathar, he says, Abiathar, may I have the ephod? Now, this ephod is a piece of clothing, as the Bible defines it, but it's not just any type of clothing. It's a priestly garb, especially a high priest garb. So we can assume or come to the conclusion that this ephod may have been Ahimelech's garment. It could have been Ahimelech's ephod that Abiathar took with him. And so David takes that ephod, and he goes to the Lord, and he inquires of him for refuge. David inquired of the Lord before making a decision. David knew what would happen if Saul found him, and he knew the lives that would be at risk. David knew if Saul came to the city of Keilah, it would be destroyed for David's sake, because David went there. And David starts to wonder, Lord, so if Saul's coming here, what will the men of Keilah do? What will the people of Keilah do? The ones who I've just saved, what will they do? Will they deliver me up? David had so many concerns and so many questions, he was overwhelmed. Lord, what do I do? Will they throw me in? Will they give me up to Saul? Lord, what's going to happen? So David, he went to the one who he could rely on. There's moments in our own lives that are overwhelming, aren't there? Maybe you've had some difficulty or some hardship, struggles, some heartache. Maybe just confusion. You're just confused. Nothing makes sense. Lord, I don't understand the situation. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe you're worried. You're distressed. You're in despair. And I hate to say it, but when you're overwhelmed, Dr. Phil can't help you. Amen. Oprah can't help you. The news can't help you. It'll just cause more problems, actually. It can't help you. The only one that can help you with your problems and when you're overwhelmed is the one who knows you so well, he created you. God. When you're overwhelmed, when I'm overwhelmed, go to the Lord. Let your prayers be heard. He's there to help you. The same God who rescued David is the same God who can save you as well. And once David heard from the Lord that the people of Keilah would give him up to Saul, David and his 600 men, they would leave. And the Bible says in the verses remaining, in verses number 13 and 14, David leaves and Saul forbears David. Essentially, Saul lets alone David. He says, okay. And Saul would forbear David for some time, but in verse number 14, it says that Saul would still continue to seek him out. It says, but God delivered him not into his hand. David would go to one place. David, you need to move. Saul's after you. David would go to another place. But everywhere David went, everywhere David was led to go, he didn't go off of what he knew. He inquired of the one who was helping him, the Lord. I'm thankful for great leaders. I'm thankful for men like Brother Sam and Pastor Foster. And I'm thankful for men who know their limits, but know who their source of strength is found in. Amen. David knew who his source of strength was in. So you ask yourself, how was David able to be safe? How was he able to be so victorious? David was able to be victorious and safe despite the circumstances by inquiring of the one who could get him through. Amen. I just want to say it like this. Life requires inquiring of the Lord. Amen. Life requires inquiring of the Lord. Life requires a lot from us. But it's us who need to inquire of the Lord. Amen. I need help. Just say it that way. I leave us with what David said in Psalm 61. He said this, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in thy cover of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. I will sing praises unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Life requires inquiring of the Lord. Amen. Lord, I need help. Let's inquire of the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear God,